Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated January 15th, 2016. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week and this year, Asclepius?
I'm going real well, thanks, Lord Baldrith, and a Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Yeah, look, it's been since last year we've been together, isn't it?
I know. We each had to fly solo because the other was doing family events, which are, they're pretty awesome around this time of year. And that's absolutely great. Glad to see that we both survived and we didn't ruin anything or break anything. And here we are back again.
Oh, yeah. It's great to be back to the routine and everything. And the holidays were awesome. And I took some time off of work, and I really just kind of relaxed and enjoyed. So that's why I was a little bit lazy during the last couple of weeks there.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's absolutely what you should do. There's nothing like taking a break and refreshing your body and spirit. It's just great.
Yeah, everybody needs a break sometime, and it does bring you back into the whole thing, just feeling so much better and so much more refreshed. That is a good thing.
Oh, it is. You sort of feel that life's worth living again if you have a little bit of a break and a breather. And then you take a breath and you think, yeah, okay, I can do this for another year or a few months, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. We're kind of, we're actually getting near the end of the whole testing phase of this thing, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's starting to get a bit exciting. I can sense a little bit of anticipation and excitement in the works.
Yeah, there's just based on the forums, there's a lot of people who are just, they're ready for the game. They don't want any more of this testing. They want to get in the game. They're tired of the wipes. And I can completely understand that because I'm tired of them too. I'm tired of my character going back to level 5 again.
Oh, tell me about it. I know. Yeah, I'm picking up restlessness on the forums too. And yes, I can say that I can identify with that because it's been in development for a while, quite a while. And yeah, I want them to put out a real quality product, and I'm very happy with the way it's going. But yeah, I'm with you. I would love not to have wipes anymore.
Yeah, I totally can understand all of the restlessness because testing, it's not always fun. I mean, a lot of times it's fun, but you know, you get a big collection of stuff in your house and your chest, and it's like, it's all going to get taken away. So it's kind of, you know, feels like you're kind of wasting your time sometimes. So that might be some of the general mojo going on.
I think so. And it's probably the big reason why the population and the number of players around tends to drop off towards the end of the 3-month cycle. Because they think, oh, yeah, well, it's sort of not worth it now because it's all going to go away in a couple of weeks. I'll wait till the next cycle.
Yeah. Well, I'm having quite a bit of fun with the agriculture because I had about 3,000 or 4,000 pieces of cotton, and I was just for the fun of it trying to work up a second GM on my crafting with the textiles. Couldn't do it. I ran out of pool.
Oh, no. Yeah. But you know, it's a great thing, and I am so glad that we're here. That we're doing this because we are experimenting. We're finding out what works and what doesn't. Already, I've decided what to do and what to avoid in my next build. Because I thought, yeah, okay, that's not really worth it. I'm not going to waste points on that. And so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think every time this happens, our experience gets a bit better and a bit more comprehensive, and we can be a bit sharper next time.
Oh, yes. I'm quite excited to start a new character because I've got some ideas on what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do something a little different, so it's going to be fun to play.
Yeah, that's right. And although I hear what you're saying, it's hard to dredge on. I've managed... There's good and bad. I've managed to get to level 65. Woohoo!
And, yay!
And I've gone to places that I couldn't get to before. I will tell you, I now am the proud owner of the Throne of Bone down at the bottom of the Ravensmoor dungeon.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And I got that all by myself. So that's great. I'm pleased with that. And I was just chatting before we went on line. There's a lich down on level 4 in the Exeter Crag Mines, and I managed to finish him off. It took a very long time, and he killed me about 30 times before I killed him, so the ratio wasn't brilliant, but I got him in the end.
Well, you did it. That's awesome.
Yeah. The only negative point was, as long as I was fighting with him, I was using up hit points, experience points, and they were being distributed. And every now and then you see this lovely little visual effect and the music plays. Oh, yeah, I've got a skill in this and that and something else has gone up. Yeah, that's great, but I wasn't killing anybody, so I wasn't earning any experience. By the time I finished with him, my accumulated experience was about 11,000.
Oh, yeah, that hurts. Yeah, because you're dying and you don't get, it doesn't count when you die, even though you got some raises.
Yeah, that's right, yes. So, yeah, I was spending the points, but not earning a thing. So I'm going to have to go out and kill some easy prey or do something to try and get it up again.
Yeah, that's when you're really high level, like in the 60s, that's high for me anyway, it's a lot harder to find where to go to kill, where you can actually survive and not, you know, run out of pool. That's something I've been having problems with myself.
Right, yeah, yeah. But look, there are some people in the community that I have an enormous amount of respect for. I mean, Themo Locke is one. And I was just mentioning also, our beloved guild leader, Koval, shared a little videos with us, and he was on level 84, he said. And he's trying to pump for 90 before the wipe. And I thought, wow, people who do that, I have absolute respect for them. And I mean, okay, they make me feel inadequate, but I do respect them greatly. And it just shows what can be done.
Oh, that's such dedication. I actually really respect that too myself, because I run out of patience in the 60s. I just can't imagine how the 80s are moving.
Well, that's right. I mean, seriously, the distance between each level just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. And you think, I'm never going to get to the next step. But it just shows it's possible to do it. And if you have the right technique, maybe a good build helps. Maybe it's just sheer perseverance and dedication, or a combination of all. But you can do it. And you can get up there to those dizzying heights. And then you can walk around and dispose of just about anybody. And it's awesome.
Yeah, it feels really good when you get your main skills up real high and you're really taking things down nicely. Yeah, I love that feeling.
It is such a wonderful feeling. I mean, now, when two elder wolves and an obsidian wolf rush up to me, I just say, breakfast. Hello, guys.
I actually like it because, oh, good, now I'm going to get more bang for my buck because I'm going to get 3 killed instead of 1.
That's right. Yeah, whereas in the early days, if even a large timber wolf or two run up, you run the other way because you just don't have the power or the experience to take them on. It's a wonderful feeling to have that progression and to acquire the power and the skills to take stronger creatures on.
Yeah, for sure. I was finally getting to a point now where I can take down the smaller trolls fairly easily, but I did find out they kind of like blow up on you or something when you kill them, so I learned to get back.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had that experience several releases ago. We were battling the troll in Virtus Pass, and there was quite a few of us, so you know, we all chipped in, and then the troll died and fell on us. And you know, caused about 200 damage through falling troll.
So that's what it is. That's one of the things you kind of learn, is to back up right at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do not let him fall on you, because he will kill you.
I didn't realize that. I was wondering, I wonder why I died. I thought I won.
Yes. Well, let's face it, he's pretty big. He weighs a lot. So if that drops on you, you're gone.
Well, that's true, but he's the only one that falls on you. Isn't there some other creatures that would maybe fall on you, like the big bears or something? I don't know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they don't seem to do any damage either, and they could easily fall on you. Maybe they're just not heavy enough.
That's true. It doesn't get through your first layer of armor or something.
Yeah, that's right. But it's fun. And look, they're bringing more and more creatures and things into the game. They talked about a chaos demon during the hangout. That is going to be fun.
Oh, he's looking really awesome just based on the some of the pictures I've seen of him. So I can't wait to see him in game.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll probably be like most people. I'll take a quick look. I'll bring my camera. I'll take a photo from a distance, and then I'll run away.
That's what I've done with the dragon so far. I've been killed doing it, but I did get some good pictures.
Yeah. Great. But, you know, it makes such a difference when you're with people. Because I was wandering around Deep Ravenswood a while back, and I was trying to take that hill where all the skeletons and liches and stuff are, not having much luck. Then I happened to meet up with Woftum and Marguerite, and they are pretty good. They have got quite a few GMs between them, and Marguerite is a huge healer. And between the three of us, we just cleaned up the hill completely.
Oh, that's really nice. That's awesome, because the thing that always kills me in that area, those archers, they just tear you apart.
Oh, yeah. Archers hurt, because they've got the disabling shot, and they've got the aimed shot. They do hurt, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and those things, they'll do 100-plus damage multiple times to you. Yeah, most of us magey types don't have that many hit points, so yeah, that hurts.
Yes, it does. The only thing I can do to them is try to root them and then run up to them. Well, that sort of reduces their defenses, so I can have at them.
Yeah, that's a good thought. That's what I was doing with my one melee character I play with, is using some root and earth innates, and I was noticing that does make a pretty good difference on your melee characters. That's a good way to go.
Oh, yeah, it does. Although I'm seriously thinking what I'm going to do in the next release, because I'm spread out over a number of different trees and I'm okay in a lot of things, but I'm not super in anything really. I mean, yeah, I've got one GM in bladed combat and yeah, like I say, I'm doing okay, but I could, if I manage it a bit more cleverly, maybe do a lot better.
Yeah, I'm noticing that if you focus on less trees, you can get your innates or your passives up higher, which really makes a huge difference on the damage of your spells. You just don't have as many spells to choose from, so it's kind of a toss-up, you know?
It is an absolute toss-up, and really, I'm glad, as I say, we have the opportunity to do this, because next release, we can try another combination, maybe be more selective, go for fewer trees and really sharper focus, get the innates up higher and be more powerful in those areas. Yeah,
I think I've made the decision to go, instead of using the, I was going with sun magic, I think I'm going to go to air magic and water magic, just so I can have more offensive spells. There's no offensive spells in the sun tree, just the one spell. It's like, you need more variety, otherwise your bar is kind of empty.
Yeah, okay, that's a thought. I'll have a look at that.
And I did hear the air magic's pretty good now, but I haven't tested that in like 5 releases, so of course I'll probably nerf it down a little bit if people are liking it.
Yeah, funny about that. They do tend to mess with things just when you get used to something.
Yeah, that's why I try not to make any comments about what spells I like, because those are the spells I like bring down again. It's like, no, I'm not saying anymore.
That's exactly right. If there's a spell that you really, really like and is really working, you should write a letter of complaint saying it's not powerful enough.
That's a good idea. That would offset all the people that are saying it's too powerful and maybe say, oh, let's leave it alone.
Yeah, that's right. Alrighty. Well, we have another news release.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Update number 159. There's a special announcement. And the Disborg Ruins, Paladus Shardfall, Grasslands Template, Telethon Rewards, and more. Brilliant. And the first and most important and most breathtaking is a special announcement. So everybody prick up your ears, turn on your hearing aids, Turn off everything else. This is exciting. They say we're working diligently on detailing our schedule for 2016. We plan to provide you with an update as soon as next week, but definitely before the end of January. So, okay, there's news coming. We're very excited because this schedule will include the date of our final wipe, as well as the start days and times for final lot selection.
Wow. Yes.
Awesome. The date for the final wipe is coming. Release is coming. That is brilliant.
Being they're going to bring news like that to us like within the next couple of weeks, I would venture to guess that's talking about a 2016 release date, right?
Oh, absolutely. It definitely 2016. At this point in time, I'm going to go out on a limb and say middle of the year.
Yeah, I'm still on my July date, so yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think you could be about right for July, but yeah, we will see what happens. But the fact that they are prepared to put it on paper, it shows they're pretty confident. They have a timetable, they know what's still to be done, they know their task force, they know how many bodies they've got, they know what they can do in this space of time, and they're obviously confident that it can be done.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, a lot of us are saying, oh, we can't have that feature, we can't have that feature. But you know what? They're going to put a date out here. They're going to get us released, and then they're going to move on and work on some of those other things.
Yeah, absolutely right. And they have said that they're not going to stop when the game's released. There will be more patching. There will be more stuff added, like there is in games all the time. You're playing Diablo. You're playing, I don't know, maybe World of Warcraft. Every now and then there's a new patch, a new release. Well, fine. But what they're aiming for is the game complete and playable. And they might want to tweak it a bit, put a few more things in as time goes by, which they will. Yeah, sure. But they're going to make sure that they've got the full architecture in first. And it's playable, and it's good.
That's right. We can always change our hair and our beards later on. So, yay.
That's right. And then maybe in episode 2, we can cut the mooring line that's keeping my boat at the dock. And I can sail all around the world.
That would be very cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Ah, that'd be lovely. But yes. So, look, people, the train approaching Platform 1 is Shroud of the Avatar, Episode 1. Please have your tickets ready for boarding.
I'm definitely ready to start buckling down and decorating my house and becoming a well-rounded character. Yay.
Ah, me too. I think there will be a lot of people who will jump in then when they know that there are no more wipes and they know that what they're doing is now permanent. And the excitement level is going to build from now on. So that's going to be absolutely great. People will be jumping in and inhabiting the world and having a huge amount of fun.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool to see how big the population grows once the everyone knows there's not going to be another wipe.
That's right, yeah. It will not be just the dedicated testers, the crash test dummies like we are. Everybody who's purchased the game will be entitled and enticed and encouraged to come in, and now you can play. It's finished. It's released. And that'll be amazing. It will be amazing to see dozens of people on the overworld map even.
That's true. Yeah, it gets pretty, just, you know, in testing period, you see quite a few people sometimes. So it's going to be amazing to see, like, hundreds of people.
Yeah, it absolutely will. I just hope the servers hold up, but I'm sure they've thought of that.
That's definitely where the testing of population is going to come in, where just us testers, there's definitely not nearly the population as when they launch the game. It's going to be like, multiply that by 100.
Yeah, that's right. And it's encouraging to see that for the next few releases, they're going to focus on polishing. So they obviously feel they've got a reasonable amount of content in, but now they want to, I don't know, go back and rewrite the code or whatever they do. This is way above my head. But they want to rewrite it properly so that everything happens much faster and things aren't sluggish and jerky when you go through big towns. And that'll be a great experience.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the optimization of where there's not as much lag or no lag, and the loading screens are much faster. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, that will be absolutely sweet. Okay, so that, I believe, is going to happen in the next few releases, and that'll be very, very nice to see.
Yeah, I'm quite curious. How many more wipes are there going to be? They'll probably tell us that too, you know, so that'll be good.
Yeah, I reckon they will, yes. And so anybody who wants to do more messing around with their character, say, oh, I'm going to go for an archery build this time, I'm going to go for a mage build this time, that's great, good, go for it. But bear in mind, there'll be another wipe in a few months, and look, maybe a few months after that, that will be the final wipe. So have your mind made up by then.
Well, that's the best part of this whole process, is that we get to figure out what kind of character we want to create. And it's always going to get it's going to get deleted. So if we messed it way up, no big deal. We just start over again.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm thinking to myself, if I decided at this point that really blades weren't doing me much good, it'd be a long, hard road to turn around and do something else now.
At this point, I don't really know how you would change, like, from a GM skill to something completely different. Now, sheesh, you'd have to recreate your pool. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you'd start to pick up different weapons and then go out and start killing things again and start accumulating more points. Oh, it'd be a long battle.
I believe they were talking, I don't know if it was in that video we watched, about being able to cash in skills you wanted to get rid of. And I hope that's going to be something that would happen. That would be cool, you know, so you could change your mind on a build.
Yes, that would be great if you could do that. If you decided, this really, really isn't working for me, can I go to the trainer? Even if it's for a fee, I don't know how it's going to work. But yeah, can I cash in all these points that I've wasted on this useless skill, and then maybe I could spend them on something else? Now, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think I've heard mixed reviews on that. Just like, oh, you're getting all your points back. That seems like that's kind of cheating. But I don't know. You put the time in, so why can't you use them again on something else? I don't know.
Well, that's right. Yes. Okay. Well, we'll leave that up to the devs. They usually come up with a fairly good response.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they can come up with something that makes sense, you know, that won't cause any kind of a problem with the macroing and all those kind of things that tend to come up.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm excited to see that. That'll be great. And, yeah, I am really pleased to see that there is a final schedule coming out.
I'm very excited. I cannot wait, and especially excited about the schedule on the location, the house placement. Oh, that's good stuff.
Oh, that'll be lovely. Awesome. Hey, and you notice we knocked over the 8 million over the last weekend.
Yeah, actually we did. Yeah, I just barely missed being able to announce that last time. And yeah, the very big congratulations for making 8 million. That's awesome.
Ah, what a tremendous community. That is just brilliant. So well done to everybody who's put in even a dollar or so. Or $45, whatever. But yep, that is just wonderful. We are going to have such an amazing game because of all this.
Yeah, and the only thing I was disappointed in was not making it to that icy mount. That would have been perfect for my character, but that's okay. I love it.
Hey, it would too. That's right. Oh, look, maybe they'll feel sorry for us and throw it in anyway.
Well, some suggestions have gone. Put it on the add-on store. That'd be great. We'll buy it. That'd be cool.
I'm sure that we would. If they put it on the add-on store, people would buy it. That's a good idea.
I would. And the thing I would hope on that is it becomes a real mount once mounts are in game, not just stay coconuts, you know?
Oh, yes. Ah, that'd be nice.
I would love a big icy horse, you know, that was just really cool. And he left a trail of ice behind him. I'd just love it.
Breathing snow and frost.
Yeah, he'd be like the opposite of a nightmare, right? Where he'd be icy.
That's right. Hey, did I mention I was walking around Wizard's Rest the other week and it was snowing. It was just lovely.
Yeah, the snow is awesome, isn't it? Just the snow's, it's like it's so cold, you just feel a chill in the air.
Ah, beautiful. And then in Al's head the other day, there was a thunderstorm happening and rain's pouring down, the lightning's flashing, thunder's going. It just felt brilliant.
I completely love the lightning. I think the weather effects are just utterly unbelievable. They're awesome. I can't wait until it's like they have a seasonal thing going on where sometimes it's raining more and sometimes it's snowing and sometimes it's windy and sometimes it's sunny. You know, that'd just be so cool.
Be absolutely great. They have done so much good stuff. And really, one of the only things they have left to do is to sync it all up together. Because as they've said, you know, they know this, they admit it. Sometimes you walk into a scene and the calendar under the compass bar tells you it's nighttime, but in the scene it's daytime. Well, okay, it's not all synced yet. That's just tuning and adjustment, and they're getting to that.
Oh, sure, that kind of stuff's kind of like final touch type stuff. So, yeah, we could completely understand that.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, the weather and all the stuff they're doing, it's just amazing. Love it. And there are still places in the game that even high-level characters can't go alone. And so that's, that's encouraging or challenging or demoralizing or whatever word you want to use.
You're never high enough level to go everywhere. That's a real game. That's good stuff.
It is. It is good stuff. Okay, well, moving on. Next item. We have the Disborg Ruins. Nice. They're located in northwest Novia near the mouth of Tears River. It'll be featured in an upcoming release. Level designer Richard Matey shared these work in progress images. Yeah, that looks pretty impressive and a bit scary.
Yeah, that's some serious ruins there. I wonder what kind of people you're going to run into there.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of looks like an old cathedral or some sort of temple, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've got, don't they have those cultists that have been hanging around a lot more? We might run into some more of them.
Yeah, we might. That's right. And we might find out a bit of a story about them. And it looks like we have some shards there. Then they're sort of tethered to the ground by chain. That's interesting.
Yeah, haven't we normally, when you see those little shards, it's like a PvP area? Do you think it's going to be like that?
Yeah, okay, next question.
Yeah, well, I'm not pushing for it, I'm just wondering.
I have no idea. Yes, you're absolutely right. You will see those shards in shardfall areas, and yes, they're PvP areas. And I don't know what they're doing, tethered to the ground by chains. Maybe they have magical properties, and the people who used to live there have picked them up from the shard falls and carried them home and tied them down. Maybe they have a protective, blessing, augmenting, buffing property? Who knows?
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I wonder if we're ever going to have the capability to pick up some shards to protect our own house. That'd be cool.
That would be nice. Yeah, that'd be lovely. But that looks a really impressive place, and that'll be lovely to go and visit. I think the artwork and these scenes in this game are just getting better and better, aren't they?
Oh, I'm loving they put some diverse buildings and landmarks now, which is really adding to the depth of this game. And, you know, you go to a new scene and it's like, oh, yeah, I've never seen that kind of thing. That's just totally awesome. You're just totally overwhelmed. It's great.
It's beautiful. And they know that things need tweaking. I mean, I think they said in the hangout, you know, they've been playing the game more and more as players. And yeah, combat is a bit slow and it's a bit clunky and yeah, it's a bit difficult at times. They know all of this. And it's just a matter of adjusting the math and adjusting this and adjusting that And I have no idea how Chris manages to do it all. I absolutely take my hat off to them all. But they'll get it.
Yeah, I know. Definitely, I would. I do feel for Chris because he probably takes the most grief about the combat not just being, you know, you get it right for one group and then the other group's not happy. You just can't win.
Oh, I know. I know. And I know the PvP people have been unhappy for a while. I just hope they can get it right for everybody. And, yeah, let's see how the game turns out.
Oh, yeah, I think they're eventually going to get it to a point where, yeah, we're all good. We can live with this. I think they're going to get to that point eventually.
Yeah, I think so. And it's just going to take a bit of patience, a bit of understanding, and a bit of wait and see. And, yeah, we'll get there. I think it's going to be a great game for everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing, especially the interface improvements and stuff is really what I'm looking forward to also.
Yep, that's for sure. Okay, and now we have another pretty area. It's the making of the Paladus Shardfall. And this is by Sorcerer Steve Zaldivar. Says, hey guys, Sorcerer Steve here. A teaser shot of the upcoming Paladus Shardfall. It's located in North Paladus, at the confluence of where the Fortis River and the Sanctus River meet. Yeah, we've got ominous obsidian shards floating above the crater. It's the site of a great cataclysm that happened long ago. Ah, so this is where the cataclysm happened. Ah, and it's now overrun with alien life. Okay, that sounds ominous.
Yeah, look at those creatures. Those are very unique. I've never seen them before.
No, nor me. So, look, sure as fate, we're going to have something as evil as the Flesh Flayers. And the elementals, but there's probably going to be something more as well, just to annoy us and to terrify us.
I really love to see that they're just dropping in new kinds of creatures, because that's one thing I was really worried about, that there's not enough different variety of creatures, so I'm loving it. Love to see it.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, that is really, really good. The more creatures and the more variety, the better. And yeah, absolutely loving that.
Yeah, that's one thing people do not like, is to fight 14,000 different kind of bears and wolves. It was just like in Lord of the Rings, you just got sick to death of fighting goblins and orcs. You know, you've got to find some variety. It really, really helps the game.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. But yeah, if we get more variety and more different races and creatures and mobs, that'll be lovely. And speaking of different things and creatures and things, we have the kobolds. And here we have kobold architecture. They're a unique race. They're not a constructor of the obsidians, like the elves or the trolls. They emerged after the cataclysm from their underground cities. Now, how they survived the disaster and what horrors they went through, only they could say, and they won't. They're fiercely proud, and they're deeply honourable. But in the brief time that humans and kobolds existed at peace, humans treated the kobolds poorly. Now, I can't believe that. Humans have never done that to other races, have they?
Oh, no way.
No. Yeah, that's an interesting commentary on the human race. You know, did you watch the Star Trek series? Are you a Star Trek fan?
Actually, yeah, I've watched a lot of it. The old ones all the way up to the sixth one, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of them were drawn from humanity, real world events, conflicts, things like that, drawing parallels and morals. It was great.
Yeah, it was really cool to see how they, you know, actually got along together at times, and, you know, even enemy races did. So it was a lot of racial stuff going on there.
That's right, yes. So, but here we are again, more bad behavior. And it says, no human has ever been able to learn the kobold language, so kobolds learned the speech of man and were mocked for doing so poorly. They gave the knowledge of their technology and industry freely because they were always superior engineers and craftsmen, and again were mocked for not holding out for a better price. They were mocked and beaten for being smaller than humans, but their society was always more united than any human one. And finally, from that unity, the kobolds as one decided humans couldn't be trusted to share Novia. And that's where it all started. And ever since, the Knights of Norgard, the first and only line of defensive humanity against the new threat, have never, ever mocked kobolds again.
Well, that's very interesting. I like that backstory there.
I love it. That is great backstory. It's great lore. And it's a really interesting overview of who and the kobolds are. Look, maybe there'll be times in the game where we can actually learn to get on with them.
Yeah, it kind of makes you sad that you come into a place where they've mistreated these people so much that they hate you. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of sad.
It is, yeah, that's right. Okay, so Richard Matey is working on this on the North Varicella foothills. He wanted to indicate a kobold presence that was more permanent than just a camp. So, okay, more kobold architecture than just some tents. So Bob Cooksey's been building out a kobold architectural set, starting with this building. And that looks like a very nice building, doesn't it?
Oh, it's very awesome. I actually love the looks of that building.
That's brilliant. And it's characterized by liberal use of finished metals and stitched leather, because that's what the kobolds do. And future releases will see more buildings and walls in the kobold style as we prepare to build Skrek Cavern. I nearly said Shrek Cavern.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's Shrek, but no, it has a K, not an H. Yeah,
that's right, yes. It's the capital of the Kingdom of Korobar, the King of the Kobolds. That could be another area that we're going to explore. Fantastic.
Well, I'm loving it. I love it when they add a whole new dimension to the game here. This is just great.
Yes. So, again, it throws out the question. And because we don't know any better, and all we can do is speculate, it makes you wonder, is this what we're here for? Is this the purpose of the Avatar? To restore the virtues, to reunite the warring races, and to manufacture harmony in the land, because that's what was a theme of many of the Ultimas.
Yeah, and the question would be, will we be able to even do that, or is it just too late for reuniting with all the past bad blood and bad feelings?
Yes, and there's another significant question that they would have to wrestle with. Very difficult to do in a multiplayer game, because you or I might have wandered through and sorted all this out and got everybody happy with each other, but then somebody else is going to come through who hasn't done this particular quest, and they have to get the hostile response. So I don't know how that would work. It might not be possible.
They had done that in World of Warcraft. They went through and did that, where once you clean, you finish all your quests in an area, the whole area changed, and they were able to make it do that. But I don't know how crazy that would be for our game to do.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's another fascinating thing that'll be over the horizon. We'll see what happens when it's released.
And it could also maybe just come with future episodes. You're moving to new areas where that's kind of started happening or something. I don't know.
That could be a possibility because, yeah, bear in mind, we've got 5 episodes to look at. So they could do an awful lot. There will be in the back of their minds or on a storyboard somewhere a projected story arc. And that'll be great to see.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they have all of this stuff, you know, kind of figured out. So we're just really in the dark. They're leaving this to be a secret. So it's quite cool and exciting to get to learn about this.
It is. Absolutely. Okay. And look, we have another printing press. Very nice. This is Tracy and Laura Heckman's Sojourner Tales, a game of epic adventure, twisted tales, and destiny. Okay. As promised during the Sojourner Tales Kickstarter campaign, all Kickstarter backers of Sojourner Tales at the $20 level and above, who also backed Shroud, the Adventurer, and above, they will be receiving a unique Sojourner-themed in-game item. It is the Sojourner Printing Press. It'll print player-created books inscribed with the Sojourner Tales cover art. And that looks pretty nice.
That is a, from what I hear, that's one of the most rare items in the game. So that is a big deal if you manage to get your hands on one of those. Ooh-wee.
Oh boy. And don't you love the rares?
Oh, I do. I wish I would have been around during those times of the game. That was before my time.
Yes. Ah, oh, lovely. There will be a few people who have one, and I think they'll be highly cherished.
Yeah, I venture to say they could probably sell that beautiful book design for a small fee.
Yeah, small or being so. Comparative word.
Yeah, that's right. A small fee on the vendors is not very small.
That's right. I mean, Donald Trump is only a small billionaire.
Yeah, that's right. Small in a relative word to the whole world's economy, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Okay. All right. Player Owned Towns, we have a Grasslands template coming out.
Now that is awesome. Another new layout. Wow.
Looks lovely. See, they're getting on with it. They are working hard. They're working like crazy. And new templates are coming out. This is another one that Player Owned Town proprietors can look at.
Now, can we move our biomes into this kind of layout or not? It looks a little more flat.
It certainly does. Yeah. So we have what appears to be, okay, I mean, it looks to be the ideal location if your town is located within the terrain, so to speak. So you're not abutting a mountain range or the ocean or whatever. You are landlocked, but we have a lovely river running through the middle, and then basically it's fairly flat. So make it really easy to put down your lots.
Yeah, I like the fact you've got all that flat. That's the thing we're missing in some of our temples. It's hard to create a market area because there's just not enough flat space.
Well, that's right. And the first one they put out, the one that Paxlair was built on, and the default one that they were using until everything else came out, it's nice, you got a foreshore, then you got roads that wind up to the hills and around the corner and stuff. So yeah, you're on multiple levels, which is great. But yes, if you just want a flat area of land with buildings surrounding, and you could put a central market area there, this could be the perfect thing for you. And it's grassland. So you could probably see the whole town pretty easily. You'd probably never get lost. There's over 183,600 square meters of space. So that's awesome.
Now, is that bigger than a metro? I forget what the square meters are on those.
Yeah, I have no idea. You'd easily fit a metropolis into there, I reckon.
That's good. That means it'll cover every town size.
I would say so. So, there we are. That's the overview map detailing how the lots could be laid out. Nice. Potential flat space, a panoramic view with all the nice grassland. Beautiful bridge over the river. And there's a little video of the work in progress. That looks really nice.
Very awesome. I love to see different kind of towns, you know, when you go in, you see more variety. They won't all look the same anymore. That's great.
That is going to be really nice. It will be great to see the variety in the towns. I mean, even we get some variety now because people are going to put down their lots in different places and different configurations. But yeah, you do get the sensation, oh yeah, this is the this is a Snowy Mountain template, or this is the Island template. Okay. And sure, we've got a few different lots here and there. But yeah, it will be great to see different towns.
Well, the more different templates they give us and the more customization options they give us, the more interesting the player-owned towns will be. It'd be better than just, it's the same template over and over and over again, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that will be lovely. So I think there are a few more templates to come. I'm sure there are. So it'll be great to see them as they roll them out. And moving on, we have the Wondrous Winter Telethon of the Avatar. Okay, now I must confess, I managed to catch a few hours of that in the catch-up video. Didn't catch the lot of it, but what I got was good. How about yourself?
Me too. I caught the snippets here and there. I didn't watch the entire thing continuously, but I probably caught a good 5 hours of it or so.
Yeah. I mean, I love what they're doing, and it was great. A lot of good information there. That was really nice. And they raised another $28,000, which was very, very nice.
So if you pledge during that particular period of time, you got a snow emote and a snowflake cloak. So that's good news.
Yes. And I took note and I read the small print and I jumped in. So, yay! Yay! Man.
Me too. I'm never going to miss one again.
That's right. Yes. Okay. And they gave away lots of prizes. Look at that. T-shirts, charm. Yeah, you had to be there in the chat room, which unfortunately I wasn't because I was sleeping or working most of the time. It's incredibly boring having to sleep and work.
It gets in the way of all these things, doesn't it?
I know. There should be a law against it.
I agree.
Yes. Anyway, look, congrats to everybody who won all the prizes. So that's wonderful. They gave away some cool stuff too.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Yeah, including a collector pledge, an ancestor pledge, and a lord pledge. Now, that's pretty impressive.
All awesome pledge levels. That'd be great.
Yeah, wonderful. And there we are. We have the schedule of events and topics. The welcome, the post-mortem, ONBE and Royal Warrant Awards. So a number of noble people in the community got recognition, which is absolutely great.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And just running through them really quickly, we had Eneko for her contributions to the community and the music system. Now, I mean, that is absolutely awesome.
Well deserved there. She's very, very awesome.
Yeah. Jacob White for the SOTA map website, which, yeah, again, absolutely wonderful. That saved my bacon on more than a few occasions.
Very awesome maps, yes.
Lord Andernut, for his work with the community. I mean, a lot of work and a lot of, as I said, a lot of diplomacy and tact and stuff like that. Handling and brokering, people who want to sell their pledges and then someone wants to buy the pledge. That's a lot of work. So well done, yep. Lord Andernut.
He does it all in his own time. So yeah, very, very awesome.
I know. It is amazing. As you say, the community members do this in their own time because they love the game. And that's just brilliant.
It is. It's amazing to me that people would spend so much of their free time just helping others. You know, that's just awesome.
It absolutely is. We have Themo Locke for organizing in-game events, contributing to combat scrums and activity in the community. Well, he's one of the stalwarts. And giving back so much feedback to the devs. So well deserved.
Themo Locke's just like a boss.
Yes, he absolutely is. That's right. And he takes on the bosses and usually wins.
Yeah, he kills the bosses that aren't supposed to be killable. That's the really wild thing.
I know. So good on him. That's great. And it just must be such invaluable feedback. And it shows the devs what can be done at these insanely high levels. And they know how to tune the game. So that's brilliant.
Yeah, plus he's doing so much great research for the decay system and all those things. It's very important work he does.
I know. So it's just marvelous. And we got Jack Frost for his work with the New Britannia News Network, streaming the game on Twitch, and for his part of the community. Awesome.
Yippee. Congrats.
And Casey, who offered his time in person to help the developers, bringing food and goods, organizing in-person events. And I think he was the one who organized this whole party when the devs wouldn't spend a cent on themselves. People said, that's not good enough. Let's give them a party. So Casey went and organized it.
That's awesome. You know, it'd be so cool to live in the area and be able to go over there and help move and help with the parties. It'd just be so much fun.
Ah, it absolutely would. Just to the satisfaction of helping out and to meet the devs in person, that would be absolutely amazing.
So, oh, yeah. I'd love it, yeah.
Yeah, big cheers and applause to everybody who did that.
Yeah, awesome work, guys.
Yep. Okay, and then they had lunch and a tabletop gaming session. There was deep dives in combat spells and skills, crafting and economy, and they had the Portalarium holiday, went into agriculture and food, scenes and story, player housing and player owned towns, PvP and guild warfare, and there we go. So look, anything that you want further updates on, anything you were wondering about, anything you wanted some more information on, it is all there in the videos. So you've got a rough idea of where to look for it. So they're available. Have a look.
Yeah, definitely a worthwhile thing to do on a weekend when you got a lot of time to watch through that. There's a lot of good information in there.
Oh, great. Brilliant. And yes, the next item, the devs are saying many thanks for the awesome holiday party. And that is just lovely. As we just mentioned, a number in the community just got together and said, yeah, look, let's give them a party. They deserve it.
So, yes, they do. They work their butts off, so that's good stuff.
They do. You know, it's so hard walking around those offices without a butt.
I'll bet you it is.
So, but it was great that they did that, and the devs really appreciated it. Lovely. And from 4 to 8 p.m., yeah, maybe it stretched to 10, whatever. Local backers, even remote backers, partied with the dev team. They said, we can't thank you, all of you, enough, starting with the ringleader, Casey, for the generous contributions of your time, energy, funds, and food. We had great fun at this truly memorial event. So check out the Holiday Party forum post for more details. La la la, very nice. And there's a few sample pics following. And it was really interesting. I found it really interesting to see the mugshots. So you get an idea of who the devs are. It's lovely to put a face to a name.
Oh, yeah. I always love seeing, you know, the picture of the actual person, you know, rather than an avatar. So you kind of get to know them a little better. It's really cool.
It is, absolutely. That's really nice. And oh, there they are. They're partying hard. They're having a wonderful time, as they should. That's great.
It's so awesome. That'd be so much fun to see, to meet everybody and be there with their Christmas, watch them opening their Christmas gifts and stuff. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay. Now, there, Lunar New Year replenishing fireworks boxes. So, in keeping with our plan to expand the variety of the fireworks, introducing these rocket and ground missile fireworks just in time to celebrate the new year, the new Lunar New Year. It's to give players enough variety so they can produce their own fireworks shows with musical accompaniment, of course. So, currently available in the add-on store, we've got green rockets, 50 green rockets, red ground missile fireworks, and yellow ground missile fireworks. Very nice.
Those are cool. Those are different than the other ones. I can't wait to get some of those. That's cool.
They are. I went and got some.
Good on you. You're ahead of me.
They're great. Yep.
I will get some.
Yeah, fireworks. Yeah, they're good. I'll weaken. I'll go for them.
Well, when I first saw fireworks in games way before they were like available, it's like, they'd just be boring. But they're not. They're totally awesome.
No, they're great fun. They're lovely. Yep. Okay. In-game community events. And here we have, we've got another whole host of events by this wonderful community. And recurring events. We've got the Vanguard Decoration Contest. So place a lot in Vanguard and decorate it as best you can. Now you've only got a couple more weeks to do this for $30 to a credit, so get to it.
Get busy.
Yay! Okay, the Role Players of the Avatar, a monthly $170 writing contest. Now, January contest features Cataclysm or survival themes. So anybody who is feeling the creative urge wants to write a bit of a story, journal entry, timeline story about the Cataclysm or about survival, head off to the Role Players of the Avatar website, post your story, and you may even find it narrated on the Caverns.
Yep.
Beautiful. Okay, The Unreliable Travel Guide. Awesome. Hilarious short stories published by two drunken layabouts who have nothing better to do than try to derive a dishonest income from newly arrived avatars. They are always very creative and very funny. Avatars Radio, daily programming, and they are so good. They really bring life to the game and really help to unite the community.
Don't forget to plug Pollux Evanhart for his plugging he does for our show. So appreciate that, Pollux.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pollux. And he does a rock hour. He does Cuddle Up Wednesday. So whatever kind of music you like, tune in. He'll give it to you. Now, the NBN Lunch with Jack and Laz, weekdays at 12 o'clock, covering the daily goings-on. We've got relevant issues happening in the day's news. Come chat with us about upcoming events and general information. Very good. A daily wartime PvP event. That's 8 to 9 p.m. Central at Chaos Crossroads. One day, when I enter Chaos Crossroads, I'm going to be there at the right time.
Have you tried to find somebody in there?
Yes, I have. And there's nobody there.
Yeah, they must all be in a different time zone than you, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I'm always just stumbling around at whatever time I happen to get on. And I'm walking past, and I'll have a look at Chaos Crossroads to see if there's anybody in town, and there isn't. So, but look, I'll find somebody there one day. 8 to 9 p.m. I'll try and go there at the right time. I might find somebody.
To your demise, isn't that where White Witch lives, or one of those guys that's really, really tough?
Yes. But hey, look, I can't really say you only live once. You live multiple times.
Yeah, that's true. You die multiple times, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, we have the Tavern Respite role-playing event, Mondays at 8 p.m. So share any tales of adventure among mugs of ale, legs of mutton, and merriment. That's at the Bear Tavern. Very nice. Challenge Dungeon Run on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It's a self-hosting event that meets at the Braemar Cemetery. Join whoever can make it for a dungeon run. And that's a pretty stiff quest, that one.
I actually did that challenge dungeon a couple weeks ago with Oba and a couple of really tough people. And it's a lot harder than it used to be, just FYI. It's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've got different elementals. And oh, yikes, they hurt.
They seem to be thinking of more ways to torture us, don't they?
Yeah, I think they're pretty ruthless. Plus, it seems like I was fighting a group of earth elementals, and you spend the whole time stunned from that earthquake. That's just destructive.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've finally got to the place where earth elementals can't do much to me. I mean, yeah, they throw an earthquake, and I just sort of say, yeah, that was very nice, thanks very much. Now, let me hit you.
I take it you got yourself that stun resist, don't you?
I got a bit of stun resistance, yeah. Yeah, not a huge amount, but a bit.
Good job.
Liches can still stun me good and proper.
No, liches. They got some special magical stun. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just sort of standing there thinking, what just happened? I can't do anything.
Doesn't it like blur the whole world and stuff? It's really
weird. Yeah, it does a bit. Yeah, but it lasts about 10, 15 seconds. I think, oh, great, I can do something again. But by then, I'm half dead.
Yeah, because it's not just them usually. They got their whole army of people coming after you.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's tough. It's a tough world in New Britannia.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, we have the Novian Academy New Citizen Outreach on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Kazan Phoenix Fire, providing guidance to those new to the world. So look, if you're wondering what the hell is this and what do I do and what's going on here, there are people who would love to help you. So go and join them. They will absolutely help you out. A zone to Canix Fees and Fire. Phoenix Fire, sorry. And Wednesday nights, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. mainly impromptu, but might plan on doing something nightly. So role-playing, boss hunts, gathering materials, crafting, whatever. And that's at Care Drakwich. Very nice. Happy Hour Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Striker's going to open a bar tab at one of the taverns for an hour or so for drinks, stories, news, critique of the arts, dancing, anything. Lovely. Gladiator Wars PvP tournament starts at 6 p.m. Central on Thursdays. Phoenix Republic PvE nights, Thursdays and Fridays, 7 p.m. Yeah, join a foray into the control points, dungeons, and very dangerous places. Lovely. If you feel like going somewhere and not coming back alive, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, you probably will end up in that kind of place.
You probably will. Novian Academy role-playing courses. Anyone's interested? Role-playing classes. Yeah, I'd probably need that because I'm not really very experienced in role-playing.
Yeah, it's a challenge because you actually have to learn, you know, different ways to speak and stuff. I'd be curious what they teach there.
Yeah. So there we are. Friday's 4 p.m. Anyone's interested, go for there. Shardfall Madness, a PvP event. Friday's at 6 p.m. And Vengeance Madness, Friday's at 7 p.m. Open PvP. Everyone fights it out in a Royal Rumble. Lovely. And an astronomy event on Fridays at 7:30. Okay, and the regular events. Saturday, 6 a.m. Wake Up New Britannia with Wafton and Selene. That's a great breakfast show.
Great interviews, yeah. I noticed you were on it the other week. Oh. I caught up to that.
Yeah. Right. That was stuff. Yeah, well, they...
Well,
they,
I didn't know. You didn't tell me.
I'm sorry. Okay.
It's all good. Yeah. It was cool to hear that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, they dig out stuff from the bottom of the barrel occasionally.
Well, they picked out Budner too, right?
Oh, I haven't heard Budner. Oh, that would have been awesome. I'm sorry I missed that one.
It's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if you can rehear him again or not, but yeah, I happen to be listening.
Oh, that's brilliant. Look, I hope they do repeat them because interviews like that with community members, they're like gold because you get to know people a bit better, and that's great.
It is. It's awesome to hear the voice of some of these people you chat with sometimes on the forums. It's just great stuff.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yes. Okay, 11 o'clock, Church of the Dark Star with Amber Rain and Kazan Phoenix Fire. That's wonderful. They do a great job. At 12 o'clock, the Baron Lee Construction, Harvest and Craft. Wonderful. 6 p.m., Port Phoenix Social Nights. Lovely. And then on Sunday, Exploring Novia with Royal Sexy at 5:30. 8:30, a Pax Lair meeting. 2 p.m., a Bear Tavern January party. Ah, they're having an extra tavern event to get three people through the misery of January. Free drinks, some music to get the party going. Lovely. There's Gust Ball training at 2:30, followed by a game of Gust Ball at 3. Nice. 5 o'clock, there's a BMC Gridiron Feast and Registration. 5:30, Gladiators Gridiron. 7 p.m, a Pax Lair meeting. And 8 o'clock, Fishing with Winfield. Wonderful.
Nice.
That's a nice lot of things to do and see. And upcoming events, well, we got Release 26 happening on the 28th of this month. So the good news, there's going to be wonderful new content. There's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be fairly significant tweaks and adjustments to the combat system, to skill trees, to decay, to accrual of experience, to everything else. There'll be recipe changes, there will be crafting changes, there will be new scenes, and the bad news is everything you've got's going to go away.
That's real bad news because I can't carry my gold over with me. Ah.
I know. Look, it would be so wonderful if you just had one character who could carry over. There was a post on the forum just this week, somebody who'd really screwed up their skill selection, and they just wanted to re-roll a character. I mean, okay, it's a bit sort of hard to re-roll this late in the release, but wanted to do it. I said, look, what do they do with their gold? And basically I said, look, just give it to me. I'll hold it for you. You go and re-roll, come back, I'll give it back to you. And that worked. That was great. It would be wonderful if there was one player who could survive the wipe and we could give him all our stuff.
Hey, that'd be a good idea, and then he'll have the 10 billion gold. You're back to everybody.
Oh, wouldn't it be great? Yes.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I wonder if they'll go for that. Probably not.
No, I don't think so. Ah, dear. Yeah.
I want to give him my resource chest. I want that back, too.
Ah, that's right. They'll say, no, you are starting again.
No, but imagine how slow our harvesting's going to be again. Oh, man.
I know. Oh, dear. You know, I've got up to 54% success in mining. I don't know what level I am.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's still slow. I mean, you're still, you know, stand there, swing the pick. It doesn't happen that fast. And then you start from the beginning again. You sort of, you know, start mining some ore, and you go away and read a book and come back.
I know. Finished. And you fail. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, 10 minutes of failure.
Oh, you got to love it. Still. But you get to that point, like I got to with that lich in etc. I don't care how many times I die. I've got to kill him. So I just kept on coming back and back and back. And you do that with mining nodes. It's like, it's some strange sort of fascination or obsession that sucks us in.
You almost want an auto retry, you know, fail and you just start hitting it again type of thing. Wouldn't that be cool? To go watch the movie while you do the one note.
That's right. Yeah. Isn't it a movie playing in the background and just, you know, click, click, click.
Yeah, just keep trying until you finish, until you get this out of here, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, release 27 in February, GDC 2016 in March, and SSXW Gaming in March, release 28 at the end of March. Great. PAX East in April, release 29 the end of April, and release 30 on the 27th of May. And what's after that?
Well, I'm guessing release 32 will be the final wipe. Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, who knows? Okay. I think we'll be getting close. I think we will be getting close to the final wipe.
I hope so. I'm just looking forward to getting started and actually playing and having a character, and I'm excited.
Yes, me too. But whatever happens, I am absolutely confident in saying it's going to be this year. This is the year of the Shroud.
Yeah, this is definitely it, and I hope they get real high ratings in the most anticipated games this year, because here it is.
Yep, that's for sure. Okay. All right, recommended projects 2 back. Here we are. If you feel like playing another game while you're waiting for Shroud, we have Torment, the Tides of Numenera. Okay, it's a single-player isometric role-playing game set in the world of Monty Cook's new tabletop RPG setting. Yeah, okay. It's striving to create a rich role-playing experience that explores similar deep personal themes. Excellent. Okay. There you go. Another game to have a look at.
I'll have to watch the video on that one. That sounds pretty cool.
Very nice. Well, there we are. That is the news of the week.
Very good news. Very cool news. Yes.
I reckon. That is brilliant and exciting stuff. And I guess I'll do a little bit more grinding before the final wipe, because, hey, if I can crack level 66, then at least in the next iteration, the experience multiplier is going to last just that little bit longer.
Yeah, that's kind of why I moved myself up as high as I did, because just because I want more time. And with my crafting, that's why I'm trying to GM another craft. I want to be able to have more double experience, or quadruple experience. That'd be good.
Yes, it does make such a difference. It really does.
Yeah, and I hope they make it so crafting works better when you're at higher levels and you'll get more criticals and better things will happen. It just seems like There's not a lot of reward for your high-level crafting people.
I agree with that. And I suspect from snippets that I've heard, or I think I've heard, there's going to be a lot more thrown into crafting. And there'll be more critical events happening. There'll be a lot more variation. A lot more things can influence. And there'll be a lot more different outcomes. What we've seen so far is just scratching the surface. I believe that's so. I'm not sure, but I hope it is true.
Oh, me too. I already made a suggestion. I really think that if you're a higher level, you should be able to get more leather out of a piece of leather. You know, it just percentages is the only thing that change. That just seems like a very low reward.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, an expert tailor, tanner, blacksmith, smelter, whatever, should be able to do better with the raw materials, not only with crafting and processing the raw materials, but also making the finished product. You should be able to make a much, much better product.
Yeah, and I like the suggestion I saw on the forum. Somebody was talking about putting like names in front of the item to tell you how well you did it, like junky piece of this or perfect this. You know, it'd just be good to know how well you did.
Oh, yeah, it would. Absolutely. I think they're sort of doing that anyway. I mean, I have seen epic stuff and, you know, chest plate of added dodge and stuff like that. You know, there's sort of there, but I know what you're saying, and that would be great if there was a little bit extra tacked on at the front. Oh, ultimate, extreme, perfect, whatever.
Yeah, just you can look at the stats and say, well, I don't really know how good that is because reading those stats is a math problem, but it would be nice to know, hey, this is, I really failed. It's a piece of junk. It's something I should smelt down and try again. You know, that'd be good enough.
Yes, it would be. Absolutely would. That's totally right. Yeah.
And plus, it'd be funny to be wearing something called junky piece of plate or something.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. Hey, have you noticed as well? It seems to be that, yeah, I log in every now and then, you know, maybe an hour or so a day, just whenever I get the time. And there seem to be intervals. It doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen for that long. It might be once a day. I'm not sure. I haven't really worked it out. But they turn the experience modifier back on.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's like an hour from what I've figured. Because that's why I was getting on every day for like an hour and getting some experience pool.
Yes, that's right. And I've logged on occasionally and I see that little icon. I think, yes, go, kill.
But the crafting one doesn't seem to turn off. I don't know if it's just me, but I remember I converted all my 1,000 pieces of cotton into, you know, yarn, and it didn't go away. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, mine hasn't gone away, but then I haven't done enough crafting. Oh, hang on. Yeah, I have. Because I think I surpassed my crafting level from last time. But yeah, the crafting one comes on. And it doesn't go away, probably because I haven't done any crafting lately.
Well, I was trying to use it, and it's like, it doesn't seem like you can do enough to use it, because I ran out of pool when I was trying to raise my... Because when you're in the 90s with a skill, boy, it depletes your pool fast in crafting.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, my textiling's 93. It's like really high, but I was just trying to get it to GM just to have a little two by my GM. I can't do it. It's too fast.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I am nowhere near that, so I salute you, sir. I absolutely bow down with admiration. I mean, I'm in the 30s, I think, and I've got over 1 million crafting experience points. If I could work out a way to give them to you, I would.
Well, I appreciate it. But I also bow down to you about getting a actual combat skill into the GMs. Mine always die in the 80s, so I don't know what you're doing.
Okay. Well, the only one I've got is the overall, the top bladed combat. That's more of an innate skill.
That's true. That's a blade. Oh, so is that your just main hit?
That's my one GM. That's the one thing that I can be proud of. All the individual skills are floating around the 70s.
Okay, so I'm in the 80s with all of my like my sun ray and my ice arrow and my ice fist, all about mid-80s, 85. And they just don't move anymore.
Well done. Yeah, I know. Oh, they take a long time, I tell you.
I mean, even the passive's only in the 50s. The you know, the icy breath, or that one that makes them stronger. Even that's stuck in the 50s, which is pretty high, but it's not catching up to them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got some of my passives well up. I've got deflection in the heavy armor skill. That's up to about 83. So that keeps me from getting killed quite so quickly.
Good, good, good.
And the earth innates, they're up to the mid-60s, so that's good.
Oh, that's real helpful for Malay, yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because you have to be tough if you're going to get up close to people.
And yeah.
You have to be able to take a lot of hits.
All of us have to take a lot of hits. There's no range.
Well, I know. Yeah. Oh. And especially if your reflexes aren't as fast as a 15-year-old. Yeah, I'm trying to get around the map and move out of the way of people. And yeah, people still hit me. So I just need to be tough.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that whole, you know, moving your character around stuff either. I kind of fail in that aspect of playing, I think.
But look, we get there. And I think there's something in this game for everybody. Whether you're a low, middle, or high level character, there is always some more that you can see, explore, and do. And hey, there's the little secrets buried everywhere, and it's going to take us a long time to find them all.
And that's what the game's all about, just having fun for as long as possible. That's good stuff.
That's absolutely right. So, for another couple of weeks, we've got this awesome release to have fun with, and enjoy it, everybody. Try not to get killed too many times. Try not to mess with the trolls or the dragons or the corpion, the ghost corpion. And enjoy. I hope you've all had a great Christmas New Year period. And look forward to seeing everybody in game.
Oh, for definite sure. Yeah, definitely hope everyone had good holidays and good the New Year celebrations. And the New Year is off to a good start with everything. So good stuff. So I guess we can come to an end here. The awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. And please continue to support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to theavatarsradio.com and click the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. And this is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.